Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.
Yes, it's 8:41 Central African time. In my, when I said we're going for our break, I said Consul Ahmed Paraki is, Consul Ahmed Paraki is somewhere in London. Hey, we're joining our very own Ahmed Manzoor Sheikh Imam, Member of Parliament. He's a leader of the NFP and also someone that resonates powerfully on the platforms of Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah. Ahmed, how are you doing this fine, beautiful Sunday morning? Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. 2023. Talk to me, Ahmed.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah, mashallah, day in the city of Cape Town. Well, I think we ended 2022. Some news, of course, that has affected our people tremendously, particularly if you look at what has happened in Boksburg. The number has now risen to 34. Also in 2022, the number of kidnappings have actually increased, which is a matter for concern. We've lost, over 200 days in 2022 as a result of load shedding, and there's no solution in sight. It is expected that 2023 is going to be no different as far as load shedding is concerned. We are anticipating or expecting the metric results shortly. More of them will have to join the unemployed in the country. A great percentage of matriculants who pass the metric end up as unemployed, and part of the statistics in the country. The ANC, of course, and the conference made headlines, and to some extent it neglected or failed to address the concerns of South Africans and the state of affairs of the country as a whole. Well, in 2023, I think the DA is going, is having their leadership conference, so you can expect some turmoil there as well. These are just some of the highs and lows. I think there's not much success for 2022, I can tell you. We know about the Russian-Ukraine war. We know what's happening between China and Taiwan. Many others. We know what's happening in Sudan. The Zimbabweans are still undergoing great difficulty as a result of the United States imposing sanctions against them. And it's making it very difficult for them to come out of that. So there's a lot of hardship, suffering, hunger all over the world as a result, of course, of this power and selfishness and greed that some enjoy in the world. But very importantly, I think for us in South Africa, we can expect a trying, testing 2023. You could see there's even been some interference in the SABC by government itself. So you can see the influence that they tend to have, even on media. Not surprised, because media is generally captured, mainstream media particularly. The good news, though, is that petrol and diesel prices will be going down. For how long? I can't tell you that. One matter of concern is that the Chinese, with the high infection rate, have been, relaxed all their restrictions. And many countries are now imposing restrictions on them. But South Africa appears not to take it very seriously, and that's another matter for concern. I have immediately contacted, I spoke to the deputy minister, and he said he was going to speak to the DG and deal with it urgently. But I see a statement, they say we don't need to panic. And, South Africa is slow on the take, and they'll only panic when it's too late, once it starts affecting us. So that's a matter for concern, because the infection rate in China seems to get out of control. And what I can't understand is when it is at an all-time high, they seem to relax a lot of the restrictions, particularly quarantining and things. So if people are going to go there or travel to China from anywhere and come to South Africa, you pose a risk to ordinary South Africans. So these are just some of the things, that is in the latest headlines all over. But we do hope that I think what would happen in 2023, a lot of the focus of attention of politicians and political parties will be on the 2024 elections, where you are expecting, and I think it's a general expectation from most South Africans, in his first time in the democratic South Africa, there might be a change of power and control. And of course, that depends on how the ANC, once they lose power and control, would react. And that will tell you where South Africa is going to go to in the next couple of years. But what you can expect is politicians going out there and telling people what they want to hear, something they have mastered, to try and convince them all why they all are the best political parties to be able to take South Africa forward. And of course, people are vulnerable, and politicians know how to manipulate them. So for that reason, I have called for, you know, civil society organizations to do everything that they can possibly do to educate the voters on the ground why they should apply their minds to vote for those best able to do and take South Africa forward, rather than being emotional or voting for people that they might be related to or connected to, or somebody that they benefit from on a short-term basis, so that they could make the right decisions if you want to create a better society for our people to live in.
Yeah, Amadina, before the so-called silly season, the government told us that they didn't have enough testing kits for drunken drivers. But I see that they have arrested over 600 drivers for drinking and driving as the season continues. How did they do their test? And, you know, yesterday I was driving and, you know, I was amazed that every second car I passed, they were wobbling in the road, you know, from side to side. It was like I had to be careful to, you know, maybe pass them and get away far from the maddening driver. Your thoughts, Ahmed?
Well, first of all, let me say Western Cape is still asleep after all the partying, and particularly Cape Town, people are still asleep after the partying that took place. And it started early hours yesterday already during the day, the entire day and night through. And you are correct in your observation, because we could see that, you know, the problem we have, Brother Shepherd, is, you know, we call ourselves a caring government. And here we know the effects of alcohol on society, not just on accidents, but on violence, gender-based violence, the socioeconomic impacts on families and how it destroys families. We know all these things. And yet, I can tell you, I said yesterday to the manager at Pick and Pay in Cape Town, I said, it seems like you need more staff inside the bottle store, Pick and Pay bottle store, than you need in the entire supermarket you got. Because you could see queues of people there waiting to buy alcohol. Even though you may not have enough food at home and whatever it is, but alcohol must be there on the table. And yet we know how destructive alcohol is. And yet a government will do nothing about putting in restrictions as far as alcohol is concerned. When you weigh or measure the impact, the revenue that you get out of alcohol generation, out of alcohol sales, and look at the impact it has on society and the destruction and mayhem that it causes, certainly it's costing the taxpayer a whole lot more by allowing the sale of alcohol. So the question is, should we not be considering doing away with anything that is harmful? Now look at this. Drugs, they say, is harmful. So you've got restrictions on drugs and people get arrested. But I can tell you to a very large extent that alcohol is more destructive than some drugs are. But they will do nothing about it. Now that's the problem we have. If you want to create a better society for your people to live in, you want to improve their quality of life, then anything that has a negative impact on them, you should reconsider. And when I say anything, I'm even talking about unhealthy food products. Look at the rate of diabetes in South Africa. Liver problems, lung problems, kidney problems. Now, the number of people in the last year have risen when it comes to strokes and cardiac arrest. Now, why are we not looking at creating a healthier society, a more productive society? Look at the impact this has on the health sector alone, on productivity in South Africa. So if you call ourselves a caring government, then we should have a holistic approach to this. You know, it's a very simple, I will break it down in ABC. If you know what you're giving your child is poison, will you give it to your child? No. So if the country and government says that this is one extended family and we are here in the interest of the people we serve, should you not be taking decisions that will positively impact our people rather than allow them to destroy themselves? There is no control measures in place in the country at all. But it's a free-for-all. Anyone and everyone can open a food outlet. There is no measures in place to go and look at what products they are manufacturing, what is in there, what they're selling. No, there's nothing. And look at the impact it is having. Look at the people that die these days. Brother Shafut, you know, many years ago when you and I grew up, we never saw doctors. What little ailments we got was solved at home by our parents through natural remedies. Today, every other home has got people going in, being hospitalized and dying at a young age. We're not willing to do anything about it. So if you talk about being a caring government, certainly I can tell you we don't have one right now. And it's not going to come easily from politicians. Because remember, they are all driven by profits. They are funded through these profits. The interest is not the people on the ground, and that is why I say education for people on the ground and voting is very important.
Yeah, Ahmad, you make a lot of good points, but keeping on the same theme, and you look at that Action essay in the Eastern Cape, intends to petition on the issue of underage drinking resulting in tavern deaths, and this is happening all the time. And, you know, teenagers, young people are drinking and are succumbing to it. And they're actually dying, Ahmed. And as you said, it's a government that is uncaring for even its own youth, Ahmed.
Yes, indeed. I mean, even look at some of the decisions that we are taking. Just look at some of the decisions that we are taking. You're going to be legalizing prostitution shortly. Right? The age of consent for sexual conduct amongst children has been reduced, and resulting in 91,000 children giving birth last year to children in any event. Look at on Christmas Day, by lunchtime already, over 500 some odd babies were born, and some of them were as young as 12-year-olds that gave birth. Minister of Health goes and congratulates them. How do you like that one? So what is the message we're giving across the society now? Where is the law enforcement, Brother Shafin? Should they not have been there checking on all these 12-year-olds that gave birth? Who are the fathers? Because it's a criminal offense. They should all be arrested immediately. Are we doing it? No. There's another problem you have culturally among the black communities, which it's a form of damages, that when you make a young child pregnant, all they do is they pay an X amount and they get away. They're getting away with it. I've seen it. A principal of a school was able to just build a house for somebody, then he got away with it. So you can see that the system is designed to destroy itself and destroy the nation. It's not there to improve the quality of life of our people. Now, we know the effects of alcohol on adults, leave alone children. What measures are being put in place? What oversight mechanisms are there in place to hold these tavern owners and bottle stores accountable when there are children as young as 10 years and 11 years going out there, or 12 years, and going and indulging in alcohol? Nothing has happened. Absolutely nothing. Children are partying at 10, 11, 12-year-old. They should not be there. They're not allowed access. Who is controlling and monitoring that? Nobody is doing that. Where are the councillors of these areas, Brother Shepherd? Because if the law enforcement are hopeless and can't do the work, even councillors in those areas are public representatives. They are local representatives. And they should have control over their wards as to what is happening and draw the attention of law enforcement and ensure there's consequences for them. They are nowhere to be found because they too are busy enjoying themselves. So there's no accountability in the state of lawlessness that we have in the country currently. That is the problem we're sitting with.
Yeah, Mother, I'm looking at a article here. It says, a vote by the United Nations General Assembly requesting that the International Court of Justice provide an opinion on the legal consequences of Israel's occupation of Palestinian territories has been welcome. I mean, the consequences of this illegal occupation. What's your thoughts? The Palestinians are happy that there was a vote on this by the United Nations.
Yes,
Assembly.
Indeed, and we all must welcome that. And I do hope that it converts to something concrete so that they can hold the Israelis responsible and accountable. I must also once again reiterate that the correct date for the motion on downgrading of the South African embassy in Israel is on the 2nd of March, which I'll be tabling that motion. And we make dua, inshallah, that political parties, support it. And so that we could have that as the first step, if we approve that, inshallah, in the first step amongst many to hold Israel accountable. But, any attempt to hold the Israelis accountable must be welcome. And I do hope that, many of the countries follow and work together, particularly Muslim countries, to stand together to ensure there's justice for the people of Palestine. And there is more and more evidence unfolding. And the good thing about it is more and more of the critics of what is happening in Palestine are non-Muslims that are raising concerns about, how countries like the Dutch came to South Africa and said no and undermined the blacks and said this belongs to them. It was, they are the chosen ones to come here and own everything here. Exactly what the Jews and the Israelis believe, that they are the chosen ones for there. But it can't be chosen if you go and take away something that belongs to somebody else that somebody else is occupying. But that has happened all over the world. And this is because of the superiority complex that some of them suffer from. But I think what is important to note that if countries like-minded can come together and stand, and I want to say this again and again, and I know I sound like a stuck record sometimes, Brother John, but there will not be peace anywhere in the world, particularly in the Muslim world, unless countries come together, like-minded countries that believe in human rights, believe in the rule of law, come together and oppose particularly the Western society, who are the root causes of all the chaos and mayhem we're having everywhere. So if you don't take on the likes of the United States and bring them down to side, I can tell you, you will continuously have this division and regime change and chaos that you're having all over.
Yeah, I mean, they're staying in the theme of a government neglecting the youth, forgetting the children of this country. And there's another article in front of me which says that missing kids in South Africa is appealing for the public's assistance in tracking down other missing children during the festive season. Now, I mean, besides the government, look at the type of parents that are indulging themselves, forgetting that they have children and the kids are missing. And you know what's happening, they take children and they take them abroad and, kidnapping and so forth. I mean, here, the festive season, the kids are all missing. And now there's a big hue and cry about it. How do you react to that, Ahmad?
Brothers, but don't be surprised if most of these parents are even collecting grants and social assistance from SASSA. Don't be surprised. Look at the streets of Durban and all over the country and look at the number of children that you find in all the street corners begging, even during the time of school. Where are these parents? Where are they? So, yes, you know, there is, again, you know, I say a state of lawlessness and lack of accountability. There is no mechanisms. If you remember, there was a mechanism before that when you collected social assistance, you had to account. You had to produce on an annual basis your school report, your attendance in school and your conduct and everything. There's absolutely nothing of that sort happening anymore. Nothing. That is why you find so many children are not even at school. So tell me, if a mother hasn't seen a child for weeks, or that even if a child is dead, she's not going to know about it. She's not going to know about it. Why would so many children be playing around in the street corners of busy intersections? And you can see these children are not from the urban area. They're all from rural towns. You can see. And children as young as 4 or 5 year old are all there begging and things. Right? So the question that you need to ask is, why is government not putting measures to ensure people are held accountable for it? It should be a criminal offense for a mother not to be in touch with a child, for a child not to be at school, for a child to be, you know, 300 kilometers away without the mother accounting for where it is. It must be a criminal offense. But nothing is being done about it. Now, they even come to the beach and children just go astray. Because of you know, I don't know whether it's just a lack of interest, whether they deliberately dump their children there, that somebody is going to take them away or whatever it is. I don't know. But there is so much of measures that you can even put not to have these children. But look at the way the children are born. Over 1.1 million new births were reported last year. Of that, almost 1 million are new births in 1 year.
Yeah, sad indeed, Ahmed. And, you know, as we say, we don't know a society that is actually imploding from not only from the top, from at the bottom. And it seems as if the rot is, ROT is getting worse and bigger and bigger. What do you do then, Ahmed?
You know, the difficulty I have with this, brother, a lot of these things fall under the different departments. And surely those ministers and deputy ministers and DGs and DDGs should be taking responsibility, even if it's in isolation, but dealing with the problems or challenges faced that fall under their department. But if you notice, Brother Shafir, that the whole lot of them are point blank to anything. They can't see nothing, and they're not willing to do anything. It's not like one department is attempting to do. If you look at the quality of education, okay, at basic education level, there's nothing being done. If you look at the crisis at health, nothing. Social development is not doing enough about it. Higher education is not doing anything about it. Human settlement is not doing anything about addressing the issue of homelessness and addressing the issue of providing more homes or service sites to people. No, they're not doing it. So every department is not performing, not performing. And I don't think it's going to get worse, better anytime soon. So I think the time has come for us to admit that South Africa is a failed state. It's a collapsed state. There is no rule of order here. No rule of law is being advanced in South Africa. That what we need now is a new government that must come, that must be inclusive of different organizations, people with the necessary expertise, skills, to come and take South Africa forward. And my only fear is that when that time comes for the changeover, when the ruling party is going to lose its power, which it must rule for South Africa to become a better place, unfortunately, it has to happen, then how are they going to accept this? Is violence going to be on the increase? Is political assassinations going to increase? What is it going to lead to? The fact of the matter is, I think South Africans need to rise. You need a revolution. You need to take back the country. At the moment, the country is in the hands of corruptors, looters. That's what it is all about. And the problem we have is that all spheres of government, local, provincial, and national, is failing the people of this country. The entire system must change. You know, you need to go back to the drawing board. Constitutional amendments, policy decisions must all change if you want to create a better South Africa.
Yeah, Ahmad, we got about a few minutes to go. Question on the screen. It says, Ahmad Manzoor Sheikh Imam are powerful indeed. I want to tell you that most of those elected in municipalities cannot read and write. They're only collecting the money. And what about those that are suspended? Billions and millions of our taxpayers' money is supporting these people. And these are the same people that that are standing in queues at the supermarkets for their DOP. Ahmad, how do you respond to that listener?
Well, absolutely. I mean, that's where the problem is. And they did a survey on the number of them that can't read and write. And we say it's okay. Look at the number of them that are suspended, brother, and taxpayers must pay for it. Look at the amount of money that is being paid in legal costs in South Africa. Okay, look at what the president is spending on legal costs. Look at what the public protector is spending on, all coming from the taxpayers. You are then putting on people there that are cadres, that belong to your organization, not fit for purpose. Do not, even if they got the qualification, they don't have the skills, you know. So they are just, that is why I say we are a failed state. We are a collapsed state. There's no doubt about it. But everywhere you look at it, it's the taxpayers that bears the brunt of this because you have to pay for it. And nobody cares because it's not your money. So who's going to worry if the legal cost is being paid by the taxpayer? Nobody. Who's going to care when people are suspended for 2 years, 3 years, and 4 years, and even more, and getting their full salaries and benefits? Nobody cares because it's not coming from your pocket, it's the taxpayers' money. So you can see, Brother Shepherd, and more importantly, and I've raised this again and again, where you're losing about 300 billion a year on not getting value for money. So take all that into consideration and look at how much of money can be made available in South Africa that you can use to address the challenges that people face on a daily basis in South Africa. Just look at the amount of resources that is being wasted in this country. So it's not like we don't have the resources, we have it. It's just that it's being mismanaged. That's all. In no time, you'll be able to bring your debt right down to nothing. But we are not willing to do it because of we are complacent. We don't care. It's not our money. It's the taxpayers' money. And we raise this again and again and again. You know, Brother Shepherd, I want to say something to you. You know, when I was in Korea, okay, the food is not halal, okay? At the restaurant that I, at the hotel I stayed in, at the Hilton Hotel. Do you know, Brother Shepherd, that I did not go to the restaurant there. I was not willing to even go and just have a fruit. Because if I had that fruit, I was going to be billed for an entire meal. Okay? And I said, no, I can't do that. I'd be wasting almost 1,000 rand of my taxpayers' money for that night. Because they will then charge me for that entire bill, but I'm only going to have, maybe 10 rand worth of fruit. That's it. And I said, no, I can't do that. And some of my colleagues said to me, no, but I mean, you know, Parliament, I said, no, but we can't do that because end of the day, you know, it's an abuse of resources. That's basically what it is about. So you know, we have a similar problem here in the country at the moment when it comes to public representatives. That the amounts of monies that are allocated to them for the work that they are supposed to do and what they do in return, it just doesn't balance. You don't get value for money. Now, earlier on we spoke about tavern problem, right? Don't you agree with me that a councillor in a ward where there's a tavern should be in the interest of that community monitoring that tavern and ensuring there's compliance. Why not? Are you not supposed to be the eyes and ears of the people who are paying your salary and your benefits? So why can we not do that?
I'm
the problem is that
absolutely.
We are not working together. We are not willing to go that extra mile. Because I'll tell you what's the problem even with councillors and things. Brother Shepherd, they don't report to the speakers of their municipalities. They account to their political parties. That's the problem. And if your political party is a mess in any case or has got infighting, nothing will happen. Nothing will happen. That's the problem. You should be accountable to the structure that pays you. I give you an example in Parliament. If people don't come to Parliament for most of the time or don't even contribute, there's nobody to check on. People will come onto the platform, sign in. They will, before COVID, they will come into Parliament, sign in, and 10 minutes later go out. And you'll never see them for the whole session, but they're getting paid.
From the bottom of the heart, we've run out of time because the juice a day is exactly 50 minutes, we're 2 minutes over time. But you were absolutely brilliant. You have a mashallah time ahead, a day ahead. Inshallah, we'll talk to you soon. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.